I'm Jake Wheel, and I have a son whose name is Forrest Wheel, and he and I own the Wheel Arcade. I think maybe it'd be a good idea to tell you how long I've been here, which many of you are too young to have any idea. I came to Hillsboro in 1913, and we opened, we called the Wheels Department Store on 3rd and Main Street. That's down here on the corner where the Raintree is today. And we were there for until the war broke out in 1918. And at that time, two of us went to France and was in the army. And I had two other brothers who were in Hillsboro who bought this piece of property where we are today. And it was called the Tualatin Hotel. And we tore that down and built this building. And moved our store from 3rd and Main to this location here. We ran our store as Wheels Department Store until 1935, when we added on a block building in back of this front building. Then in 1967, we sold out our store. And developed what we now call the Wheel Arcade. We cut this arcade out that you see out here. And developed the back end of the property all the way to Lincoln Street. And put in offices. Now a little bit about our store. I have some pictures that they might like to look at. And would you want me to show them to them at this time? I mean, I have well, that's a good idea. A department store is you don't have too many of them today. They're mostly chain stores. But this was an independent department store. It's more like the Plaza V down here that some of you probably have been in at the cruises, down by cruises. A department store is a store that carries almost everything for men and women and children. Our store carried notions and dry goods and wearing apparel. Now, the big chains and the big shopping centers today have sort of taken over our place. And that's one of the reasons we went out of business.
How was it different than a chain, like a Kmart?
Well, very similar to the Kmart, only we gave more personal service. business and had more employees. We did have one main desk where our salespeople would come with packages and we wrapped and made change there. But in the chain stores today, you more or less wait on yourself, as you children know. Okay. This building here was built, is that what you mean, the building or the merchandise? The store itself was built by local contractors here in Hillsboro, and the lumber and electrical and lighting and all came from local distributors, we call them. And then the merchandise we buy from different manufacturing firms, like shoes come from Boston. We manufacture shoes there. Clothing mostly is manufactured in Chicago. And piece goods or fabrics, as you know it, come from the South. And notions and all come from all over the United States. In those days, there were not as many imported articles as there are today. And you know what I mean by importing? Come like from Japan and Germany and all those places.
Most things were made in the United States.
We had a cash register, although our salespeople in those days made out what we call sales slips, and they listed the items you would buy and add it up and bring it to the desk. Then we had a cash register, but during that time, we just rang up the total amount. We would check off the items at the desk. Today, your grocery stores and fabric stores and all just have a register, and they give you a little receipt out of the register. But we used to give you a receipt that was listed by each item. Does that explain that?
They did used to come in little plastic packages.
Yes.
When did they start putting things into little plastic packages?
Many years ago, they start putting plastic packages together. I would say right after. Oh, say 1925, after World War I, we used to sell elastic and notions and buttons by the piece. We always, they were what we call bulk. You know what bulk means? In bunches or by the yard. But around 1925, somewhere around there, they start packaging things at the factory. And they would put a dozen buttons in a plastic bag or 2.5 yards of elastic in a package. Or needles, even needles we sold by the piece. But they start packaging needles and everything that you buy today practically comes hung on the wall
in a little plastic bag. The cash register? In those days, you could buy a pretty good cash register for around $250 to $300. Today, that same register, but greatly improved, would cost somewhere around $800 to $1,000. How do what, honey?
How did the business get started? What made you decide to start a business?
Well, that's a long story. We started our business. My father was in business in Spokane. And when I was your age, going to school in Spokane, I worked in our store. And I had three brothers who also worked in the store. But when my father sold the store in Spokane in 1912. And then we four brothers went out and started opening our own stores. And our first store was in Pasco, Washington. And it's quite a long story, so I can't tell it all to you here. It's a short time, but at around Pasco in Kennewick, we had seven stores at one time. And then we came over to Hillsboro and bought our store in 1913. And closed out some of our stores over there. And then when the war started and two of us had to leave, we closed all the stores out and had our one store here in Hillsboro. Yes. The goods came by truck mostly and train and mail and express. Most of our goods was bought in larger quantities. Today, people buy oftener and buy smaller quantities. In those days, we used to get quite a bit of goods the first part of the season in large quantities because styles did not change as often as they do today. I don't understand, John.
How was the business to your part? Was it good? Did it take a long hour? In starting a business?
Well, in starting our business, it did take long hours. We used to stay open on Saturdays in the olden days. Today, people stay open, on Saturday night, pardon me. Today, people stay open Friday night and Monday night, and many of the chain stores stay open all week, every night, and Sundays. When we first started, there was no Sunday openings, and very few night openings. Most of the stores just stayed open Saturday night. But we did put in long hours.
Now, this is something that you said that I don't think a lot of you are aware of. It's just been the last few years that you would go to a store on Sunday. Because even when I was a girl, you didn't go to a grocery store or anything.
Yes, I think most of these children here now are at the age where they have never, that they've always been able to go to stores on Sundays. But before your time, you couldn't go to a store on Sundays. Even grocery stores did not stay open on Sundays.
Everything was closed up on Sundays. And at night, if you didn't get to the grocery store during the day, you didn't get to the grocery store because they closed. They weren't even open nearly at night. Well, What, Friday or Saturday night?
Saturday nights were usually the nights that the store stayed open, but the rest of the nights they closed around 6 o'clock.
And that was the grocery stores too, so.
Department stores, grocery stores, and even drug stores closed early. And then the drug stores start taking turns. And one store would stay open at night, and the rest would close. Today it's altogether different. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Do you have to choose during business hours, or
I wouldn't say they were more accurate or less accurate, but most of the cash registers in the old days were all operated by hand. They didn't have electric cash registers. The stores do more business on Friday nights than they do on Saturdays. In fact, most of the department stores close on Saturday nights today. Yeah.
How come you had your clothes on in the Sunday? Was it a law?
I believe there was a Sunday law at that time where you could not open on Sundays, but it was more or less a custom beginning the department stores, people just didn't stay open all those hours that they're staying open today. Yes. So you talk to Lady. She hasn't got Lady to talk to. The service was, I would say, much better than it is today because you had a personal service. We had salespeople in the store who waited on you and helped you match buttons and threads and so on. Today, you go in and you do it all yourself.
If you want to buy a shirt or a blouse today, what do you usually do? You go and you take it on off a rack, don't you? Yeah. And have you ever had your mother have to look for sales? Have you ever had your mother look at, ooh, where is that sales lady? I need to have a question. You have to flag somebody down at the church or admire the that little light that you can't. But when you went into his store, there was a lady who was right there, and she said, may I help you? And he said, I want to buy a blouse. I want to buy a shirt. And she showed them to you, and they brought them out of the back room, and she helped you try them on to see if they were all right. It's a difference.
We had 16 people in this small store. So you see, today, we could run a store like this with maybe 5 people.
Sometimes things were put back and the people had to bring them out, but that is the thing. Maybe they'd be on shelves in the back and they'd bring them out and show you what they had.
We used showcases, and we put things in showcases. Where you go into a jewelry store today, about the only place you see showcases. And we'd take them out and show them to you. Well, you're talking about where you pay for your merchandise. We did have a desk similar to what they have today. The only thing is the salesperson did all of the writing and making out the sales slips, and when they brought it to the desk, we simply checked the merchandise, see that you got it all, and then rang up the sale and gave you your change and wrapped your package for you. I hate to say this, but in those days people did not steal things. What we call shoplifting, as much as they are doing today. And I believe that's because the I think you children are just as honest as they were in those days. But remember this, don't let anything tempt you. And in the stores today where there's nobody waiting on you and you see something, it's very tempting to pick it up and take it. We did not have the trouble years back as the stores are having today. That then answers your question.
You know how many people we had in his store when we were 16? And those people were right there to wait on you all the time. And so you weren't in a department where there was nobody that you had a light to turn on. And so they just pick up a package. Remember, they were in shelters and they dropped them out. They didn't steal them. They didn't steal that much in those days anyway.
No, prices were very much lower in those days. And everything was marked. Well, today you'll find practically everything marked too, but if you wanted to figure out how much two or three items were, the salesperson was there to tell you how much it was. Yeah. We had very little service of that kind. Most everyone carried their own packages out of the store. And going way back, some of the time that I could remember, there were no cars. But there were. It was easy to park or easy to drive up to the front of the store, and everyone helped themselves more than they do today. Well, you have to do quite a bit of thinking. You have to be sure that you had the merchandise that your customers wanted. You had to see that the store was kept clean and the merchandise was marked at the right prices, and that the customers, as I said before, got good service. Those days, people considered service quite an asset to the store they traded with. Well, you could only work so many hours. I mean, we weren't afraid of robberies, but we opened our store 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning and worked till 6 o'clock at night, and we felt that was long enough hours to work. And that was the custom in those days.
Not so many women work out, like, how many mothers work? Not so many mothers work in those days, and mothers could get up town and shop during the day, because they didn't have to open so much at night. And they usually worked right here in Hillsborough, because they didn't work in Port Energy. It was easy for dad to get off work and maybe drop up at the store too.
Very little transportation at that time. It used to take much longer to go to Portland and around than it does today. So, like the teacher says, that very few women worked. Mostly single women worked. But married women, most of them stayed home, took care of the children, and took care of the houses. Yes. Did I have what?
Burglar alarm.
I don't believe we had burglar alarms in those days. You didn't see the security that you see today.
What the hell? How many people in it?
I think when in 1913, Hillsborough had about 1,500 people. Am I right there?
Yeah.
Somewhere's around that. And We had dirt streets when I first came to town here. And then a few years later, the railroads came in, and there was a electric railroad from Portland to Hillsboro and Forest Grove, and they went right up Main Street here. In fact, the depot was next door over here where the drugstore and baby shop was. One time they called that the Oregon Electric Railroad. On Saturdays, we closed around 10 o'clock in the evening. But we only stayed open that one night during the week. The newspapers that you have today, the Oregonian and the Journal and the Hillsboro Argus, was in business at that time, and the Forest Grove paper, well, I don't believe at first the Forest Grove paper was there, but they had another newspaper they called the Hillsboro Independent, and the Argus bought them and consolidated. You know what that means? Consolidated means they brought them together, and they called it the Hillsboro Argus. I don't believe we were. We had a few things stolen out of the store, but not to any great extent. Hillsboro had a lot of lumbering in the olden days, and dairying was a big item here in Hillsboro, and we had a lot of hop yards. You know what hop is? Hop yards. They make, you know?
Yeah.
Tell them what hop is. That's right. And they used to sell, they grew these hop yards, used to have people go out there in the summer and pick hops like the berry fields have today. And then the cannery came along, and they started raising a lot of berries and canning things here at the Bird's Eye plant. When they first opened, they called it the Ray Mailing Cannery. It was an independent. Mr. Ray, Harold Ray, and Bert Mailing owned it. And they sold out to General Foods, which own it now, and that's who Bird's Eye products are. Well, I think it was before your time.
Yeah.
Oh, it must have been in, I can't give you actually the dates, but I would say maybe in 35 or somewhere in the 30s. But lumbering was one of the big things, and the loggers and all the lumbermen. That's why Saturday was such a big day in Hillsboro, because they used to come in on Saturdays to do their shopping. People didn't shop every day like they did today. They do today. Majority of them where the man and the wife and the husband wanted to come in together, they'd come in on Saturday. Or maybe they'd like to see some of these pictures that I have of the... Yes, I have a duplicate of it. This, when we built this store, we had a big opening before we put our fixtures in. That's the things you put your merchandise in. And I believe, and we had a fashion show also to start the opening of the store, and I believe this is one of the fashion shows that we had. This was right after we opened. You see, we opened this store in the latter part of 1918. Mm-hmm. And 1922, then we had style shows quite often.
Here is